For about the past month or so, I've really been looking forward to this morning, specifically because of us starting the Gospel of Mark together. This is going to be kind of an old-fashioned, at least introduction to the sermon, to start a new beginning, because if you're one of those that liked sermons that were like 3 points in a poem, you are in for a treat, let me tell you, because this is kind of it's not really a three-point sermon, but it's kind of three introduction. Anyway, you'll see. It's not going to be bad, I promise. But it's kind of a 3 points, and then, have you ever heard of Marshall Keeble? Marshall Keeble, old-time Church of Christ. He was interviewed one time, back when they used to interview preachers about preaching, and they interviewed him one time and said, how many points should a sermon have? And he said, at least one. So you get 3, 4, maybe even 5 today, depending on how much you're into this. But anyway, here's point number one right away to get us going in 2024. It's time to leave the lectionary, and I'll tell you why. The last few years, whenever we've gone to the Gospel of Mark, and the lectionary is just a schedule of readings, is all it is, just a schedule of scripture readings that takes us through the years. When you get to year B, which is what this one is, when it gets to Mark, they mix Mark and John together, and you might be reading Mark 1, you know, 1 week, and then Mark 9, and then Mark 4, and it's just all over the place. And I was like, well, we're a free church tradition. We can do whatever we want. And so after, you know, yearly reviews came in and we started talking about worship during the year 2024, we were like, let's go ahead and just spend time in the Gospel of Mark. I think going into this new year, we need some continuity. We need some predictability. Just since we're going into the Gospel of Mark with the lectionary anyway, rather than following a disjointed reading mixed with other things, we're going to do a deep dive into the Gospel of Mark. We'll still use some of the other passages for calls to worship and readings, but as far as our reading of the Gospel of Mark goes, we're going to go straight through it this year. And more on that in point three. But first, number two, calling all artists. We thought that for this year, being all these virtues and all of these gifts of God's Spirit, love and joy, things like patience and kindness, that one thing that might be kind of a fun project for our church is to get involved in reading these things and hearing and experiencing these things, but also getting creative with it. One of the things that I thought about while we started talking along these lines is that our tablecloths, you know, we have colors to go with the Christian calendar. Right now, we are in ordinary time because Christmas and Advent is finished, so it goes back to green. But these things have been up here for quite some time. So if you are a cloth crochet, knitter, I don't even know what you call. Anyway, people who are into this sort of thing, maybe make some new ones. You also, if you are into photography, painting, just anything, just think in terms of creativity. For example, a few examples, and you don't have to be massive super artist for this, right? For example, here's an example of love. It's a picture of love written in the sand. And you don't even have to have the word on there. What about an expression of joy? Or a painting that says, this is what I think of when I think of peace. You know, just get creative, do whatever you want to do. This is just planting a seed. You know, these are not due next week. This is for the whole year as we think about what it means to be people of God's gifts, of God's Spirit. I saw an interview
I think it was on 60 Minutes late last year with Stephen Van Zandt. Stephen Van Zandt still is the lead guitarist and band leader for Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. And he said this, and this really got to me. I love watching interviews, but what he said really got to me, and especially thinking about our art project as a church this year. Stephen Van Zandt said, "We're the only country in the world that thinks art is a luxury. Everybody else in the world understands that art is an essential part of the quality of life." And so, let's just enjoy some quality of life together this year. More on that to come. Point number three, as we introduce this, is something that I want to put in front of you. As we take a deep dive into the Gospel of Mark, want to give us at least something to say. This is a specific reading. This is a way that we can read this together. Ben Witherington's Bible scholar, one of my favorite commentaries that I have read in a long time, and I've never been a reader of commentaries. They're good tools. You go to them when you need them. But Witherington has done some work where when you start reading, you actually kind of want to just keep reading. His commentary on the Gospel of Mark is one that I could not put down as I was going through it. And one of the reasons is the way that he reads the Gospel of Mark, once you get past all of the introductions, is that he says, by the time we get into chapters 3 and 4, what Mark is trying to do for the people of God is to help them create a ministering community. Okay? Now that's different than a group of people who are reading the Gospel of Mark to collect sayings of Jesus. That's different than reading the Gospel of Mark so that, well, at the end of the day, I might know something more about the Gospel of Mark. You know, which, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be guilty of that. As someone, you know, who's been doing this for a long time, I go to a passage of Scripture and I want to know more about this, and I want to know more about that, and I want to be able to say, oh yeah, I know the history of this, and this what this word means. I still find all that stuff interesting. Okay, I didn't just wake up and thought, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm still going to do that. But specifically in our reading from the Gospel of Mark, we're going to take Witherington's idea as sort of an invitation to read the Gospel of Mark as a way of participating in what the Gospel of Mark is doing, and that is in creating a ministering community. Our realization of coming in, of Christ coming into the world, that Jesus is the Messiah, that whenever we meet Jesus on the day of His baptism in Mark 1, which we'll read here in just a moment, it not only tells a story, but it baptizes us into the life of Christ. Okay, you with me so far on that? We are not spectators in this opening of the story of Mark 1. We are invited to actually participate in the story. We don't watch Jesus' baptism so that we can say, oh, well, here's why Jesus was baptized. No, we watch this, but then we are invited to participate with Jesus, who still bears our humanity. So a snapshot for this week that opens the story of how Jesus will form His ministering community, Mark 1, but we're going to start in verse 4. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." It is on purpose that Mark begins his gospel as we meet John the Baptizer and as we meet Jesus the Messiah. It is on purpose that where we meet them as the story opens is at baptism. Now, I said we were going to leave the lectionary, right? Well, today in the lectionary just happens to be the Sunday where the baptism of Jesus is celebrated, and the text is Mark 1:4-11. So we're leaving it, but not till next Sunday. This Sunday, we're still kind of in it, because the reason that people begin the new year at the baptism of Jesus is the same reason that Mark begins his gospel at the baptism of Jesus. It's a way of saying that at your beginnings, as you start this commitment to God, this journey of faith, you are baptized into the life of Jesus. You're baptized into the story of Jesus. But as you do so, ready? God is participating in your life. That as you on this Sunday, even if you were baptized 100 years ago, on this Sunday, God is meeting us in the waters with Jesus. And if you can hear it, and I'm telling you, you're going to have to struggle to hear this through all the noise of the world, but if you can hear the voice of God, then hear the voice of God saying to you, "You are my child. With you, I am well pleased." Now, if this is the beginnings of the good news in the Gospel of Mark, here's the best news you're going to hear all day, and it might be the best news that you hear all year long. That flowing out of God's voice onto you is not dependent on who you think you are. Because if you think, well, that's good for others, but maybe not me, no, this is for you. As we stand in the waters with Jesus on this baptism Sunday, as we open the Gospel of Mark, dare to hear the voice of God saying this to you. We're baptized today on this first Sunday of the year into the story of Jesus, into the life of Jesus, but especially for today, we're baptized into the ministering community that Jesus formed and still forms. Previous years since 2020 have been years of disorientation. Okay, we have acknowledged that. But let's commit together this year in 2024 that this can be a year of reorientation. It's time to once again, in the name of Jesus, declare who we are as the body of Christ. But it's not just who we are, it's who we are and what we do. That combination of who we are and what we do is best seen in the Bible by what the Bible calls the fruit of God's Spirit, the fruit of God's Holy Spirit that we will practice together this year. All you have to do today is say yes to God, and what your life looks like is a life that is characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control and forgiveness and humility and compassion. And that's only the beginning. There are times
when we might close ourselves off to God. Today is a day to open ourselves to God. The baptism of Jesus is just the beginning. This Sunday, today, the first Sunday of 2024, this is only the beginning. But let's begin this year with a commitment. As the Gospel of Mark rings loud and clear, that Bearing is a ministering community. It's just who we are. Bearing's a ministering community. Let's learn what that means and what it looks like together this whole year of 2024. Right now on this day, this is our calling, this is our mission, and this is who we are. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for sending Jesus into the world and into our lives to show us the way. We thank you for pouring out your Spirit upon us and shaping us in the image and likeness of Christ. And we ask today that you just do it more and more, that you shape us in your image, that you pour out your Spirit upon us so that when we are with one another, we are people of love, joy, and peace, and everything else. We thank you in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to guide our way this whole year into your specific reorientation. Shape us and shape our community. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.